From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. At-large Peoria City Councilwoman Beth Jensen was sworn into the office in early September to fill the vacancy of longtime city leader Gary Sandberg. Sandberg died July 19th, with about 2 years remaining on his seat. Jensen steps into the seat with the experience of having worked in the city's legal department and representing another municipality, as well as additional service work. Jensen is an attorney. She is our guest for this Outside the Horseshoe. Councilwoman Beth Jensen, welcome to Outside the Horseshoe.
Thank you.
How do you represent all the different types and parts and pieces of Peoria that come together to make it one very colorful sort of tapestry of a city? Because as far as Midwestern cities go, it is that.
It is. It's mm-hmm. very diverse, mm-hmm. you know, from all different aspects. And, well, I think, you know, as being an attorney working downtown, yeah. I'm quite familiar with downtown and the needs of the downtown and the business community and the Chamber of Commerce and developing the city in a way to attract other young professionals like myself and my family. And that's also part of the reason why I wanted to put my name in the hat, because I think it's really important that we attract and maintain young professional people like myself and their families. And we attract them not only to the older neighborhoods, which I think is important, but also to the newer neighborhoods up north. And, you know, I have, through my children, I have two young boys that go to school up north. So, you know, they have friends that live all over the city of Peoria, and they participate in sports all over the city of Peoria, in basketball, swimming, and soccer, and cross country. So through my experience with them, I really kind of have been able to see all the different neighborhoods through our friends and parents of our children, and really experience the city as a whole, I guess, and also through my activity on different community boards,
sure.
like the Center of Prevention of Abuse, the Children's Home, the Pediatric Resource Center. I'm also familiar with the needs of, you know, other parts of the city.
Are there things that you can identify at this moment that you would like to see or bring to bear some sort of policy changes on or introduction of new policies?
You know, I'm still kind of
new,
new and taking it all in. I know at our last council meeting, Councilwoman Moore did mention that she and I and Councilwoman Akeson are concerned about some of the housing issues, yeah. the housing problems. And Councilwoman Moore and I have met with staff, and I've been meeting with neighborhood people, and I will, along with Councilwoman Akeson and Moore, and I think other maybe Councilman Grab as well, because he and I have talked about this issue. We are concerned to make sure that the rental properties are being inspected and are brought up to code, and I think it's all kind of linked to some of the issues that we're having with violence. So that is an issue that I'm concerned about. I'm not quite sure yet, as I study it and I gather the information from the tenants and the neighborhood advocates as well as the city staff, if there needs to be policy change or we just need to make sure that we start enforcing some of the ordinances and policies we already have on the book, and maybe making it more of a focus than it's been in the last few years. I know also that there are budget concerns, and that's some of the reason why some of these programs, like the rental inspection program that was put in place when I was here at the city, I don't think is as active as it once was. And so that is a concern of mine and something that I will be focusing on, as well as other things along, sure. you know, with the warehouse development project and downtown development and Main Street development is something that I'm concerned with. And we've worked hard on that just with the plans with the new intersection at University and Main Street. I've been involved, deeply involved in that, in establishing or developing the plan along with Councilman Grab and Councilwoman Akeson and Public Works Director Rogers and the city manager.
Are you behind the current plan to do the bump outs and the one lane, all directions with a right hand turn lane?
Yes. And then also what's very important as part of that plan, which we discussed on the council floor and which was brought up during the meeting that was held at Bradley, where we had all the community stakeholders there.
It's the diagonal crosswalk.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. In fact, my family and I were in Champaign a few weeks ago for a soccer tournament, and I made sure I dragged my boys to Green Street so they could see the diagonal crosswalks at work.
I'm sure they appreciated that. How old are they?
They are 10 and 12. But they seem to work very well, and I think it would be a great asset, that intersection in our city.
What do you say to concerns that people might have who live and work in that area? Because you do.
I do.
You do. That currently with multiple lanes, there's already significant traffic backup during drive times.
Right. And that has all been taken into consideration as we develop that plan. And, you know, as someone who lives on Moss Avenue in that neighborhood,
right.
I understand there's a real concern that as we change this intersection and develop the new intersection, that we don't start having increased traffic through the neighborhoods, either down Moss Avenue or Columbia Terrace. And the engineers and the public works staff have worked hard, and they understand that that's a real concern. So part of the program is also going to be to add what's called road diet, stop sign, more stop signs, speed limit signs, probably more parking and other things to make sure traffic, to, I guess, disincentivize traffic from going through the neighborhoods while this is happening. Mm-hmm. The staff has also looked at rerouting traffic so they don't cut through the neighborhoods, either up through Nebraska and around where Cornstalk Theater is, mm-hmm. you know, and just totally avoiding people that come down Farmington Road to Main Street. Mm-hmm. They can do that by going up Nebraska and going to University to 74 rather than cutting through the neighborhoods. And there's some other things that the staff is looking at to try to redirect traffic, so, and maybe down Martin Luther King.
How do you determine who's qualified to travel those roads, even though your neighborhood isn't that immediate neighborhood, but one adjacent or close to?
You can't prohibit people from driving through although trucks are not supposed to be driving up and down Moss Avenue.
Sure.
And they're going to add those signs again and try to enforce that
right.
again. But I think that if you do traffic studies, mm-hmm. and you also, the engineers have done time tests, mm-hmm. to see what's faster, and I think sometimes that's what commuters, especially, that's their goal, is to get somewhere the quickest.
Mm-hmm.
With the pedestrian crosswalks they're adding on Moss Avenue and the increased enforcement of the speed limit and those kinds of things, I think commuters will find that that's not the fastest route for them to go.
If you work at Bradley and you live in that area, you know it's already a nightmare. And I've driven that multiple times since that council meeting, trying to think, if they inject an interval that's a 30-second or 60-second timeout for the diagonal crosswalk, mm-hmm. the backup that's already happening there, if you reduce the number of lanes, is going to be so significant, even if you would take half the cars out of that now that are there,
mm-hmm.
by rerouting them, you're still going to have a significant amount of backup.
There will be, but we're hoping with the re-education and the other tools that will be put in place,
mm-hmm.
that it won't be a nightmare, that it will work, and it will be a lot safer for the neighborhoods and the pedestrians are in the area, which will also help make that area more walkable,
yes.
which is our goal, and which will help with the vibrancy of Main Street. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal, and I think that this new plan will really help with that.
Quite clearly, it's a landlocked intersection. It's one of the busiest intersections in the city, and the busiest pedestrian intersection in the city.
Right.
And the continued vibrancy of that area, right, is really important to that intersection.
It is, and it's important to the city as a whole,
yes.
I think.
What may be your biggest surprise so far in your time on council?
When people ask how the position is going, and they ask about how much time it takes, and when I answer, they're surprised. Uh-huh. You know that it's that much of a time commitment.
Oh.
I don't think the general public doesn't realize that, but I knew that coming in.
Did you?
And that was, of course, a real consideration for me. before I put my name in. And, of course, I talked about it with my husband and my boys. And so they all realized that, you know, there'll be times when mom won't be there for, like, a basketball meeting tonight. But my husband will be there.
Let's just be absolutely clear on this. If you are a sitting Peoria City Council member going to dinner with your family, at any given point, if you're sitting at a table in a restaurant, there are people who may, particularly if there are hot items in front of the council at that moment in time, care to lobby you or talk to you about what's going on for them at that moment in time in their city.
Right. Oh, and I welcome that.
Yeah. Have you had that yet?
We've been out as a family or just on, you know, and people have approached or brought things up, but I welcome that. I mean, that's why I put my name in. That's why I'm on the council. I want everyone's input because I want to represent my constituents and do what's best for the city as a whole. And you know, believe it or not, my boys get a kick out of it. They welcome it too. They both are very well-versed in what's going on in the community and the news. And we have great conversations about not only local issues, but at national as well. So
they're young people. I mean, they aren't yet full-blown teenagers, and they're already interested in that sort of thing.
Yes, very much so. In fact, my youngest, sometimes I'm quite busy in the mornings, and he is the first one up and very organized and always ready. And he watches, you know, the news, and then we'll be in the car, and I'll have to ask him, so what's going on, Charlie? And what do I need to know? And he'll spit back what's going on a national and local level.
Your 10-year-old is your current affairs consultant, it sounds like.
He is, yes. That's awesome. On some days.
You are one of three women on the council right now. There is some fun I had about that because this is the first time there have been three ladies on the council serving. Talk about what that's like. You guys are, for lack of better words that I can come up with at this moment, kind of an elite group of ladies in the city. Right now.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I guess I never thought of it that way. I'm thrilled and honored to be sitting on the council with both Councilwoman Akison and Councilwoman Moore.
Yeah. Because when you were doing legal work for the city, there wasn't ever a makeup like this.
No, I think at the time I left, Councilwoman Teplitz and Councilwoman Thetford were on the council, and that was the first time I think we had had two women. Mm-hmm. On the council, and they both were very supportive of me when I put my name in for the city council, and both came to the swearing-in ceremony. So it's nice to have the past and current women city leaders behind me. Mm-hmm. I think that as a woman, we bring a unique perspective mm-hmm. to, you know, city council or any board or business that we're involved in. Mm-hmm. You know, women tend to work together, find solutions, and move things forward. Not that men don't, but women, when they work together, they can get things done.
Well, what haven't we talked about so far that you might like to have a conversation about?
Well, I guess one thing I am struck, and I sort of touched upon this, but I'm really impressed by all my fellow city council members. I think that everyone really cares about the city and has ultimately the best interests of the city at heart. And, you know, although there's differences in opinion sometimes, we all work very well together
Work
well with city staff. And to me, as a former city staff person, that's important.
Sure.
And I think that we are at a place where we can really make some big policies and decisions, and really it's sort of like the windows are open right now, and I think it's a really great time to be on the city council with this mayor and this current council. The makeup of all of us together can really get some things done. So I'm very excited about it and really optimistic about the future of the city of Peoria.
So you might see this as sort of a pivotal time in city governance.
I do, and other council people have commented on that as well to me since I've joined the council. We've had great discussions, the council meetings that I've been to, related to policy and things that are going on that I don't know has always taken place in the past.
Final word, any?
Just thank you for letting me join you this evening. And again, I'm just honored to be serving the city of Peoria.
I do know this. The commitment you're making cannot be taken lightly, and you know that because of your time having worked in city government. It's a commitment that you're making, but it's also a commitment that you're making on behalf of your family in service to your community. So thank you for being willing.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with newly seated Councilwoman Beth Jensen. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe.